Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Game of Thrones 2 Electric Boogaloo. I'm your host, Anthony. This week, historian Ian McInnes, professor of history at the Highlands and Islands in Scotland, joins me to talk about Jon Snow's final days with Lord Mormont. Those two characters, of course, will survive a lot longer in these books, but not together. Then, after my conversation with Ian, I include the first half of our listeners' fantasy auction, wherein we draft House of the Dragon characters that will compete for us in season 2 of House of the Dragon. All right, without further ado, here is Dr. Ian McInnes. Ian, I feel like this Jon Snow chapter gives us, in Corin Halfhand, someone who is probably the most fervent adherent to the mythology of the old gods. Like it, to me, when I read this, I was thinking, oh, this guy believes in the mythology of the North as much as Kat believes in the seven gods, or as much as Mel believes in the fire god, or as much as Aaron Dampare believes in the drowned god. Here we have a character who's like, I want John Snark. I want John, and the reason why I want him is because I think that the gods of the First Men will be with that guy. Mm. He's seriously concerned with Mance Rayder will take down the wall through sorcery. I mean, this guy, there's no doubt about it. This guy buys into the mythology of the Northern gods in a way that I don't think we've met elsewhere in this narrative yet.
Yeah, I suppose I read it maybe slightly differently. I wondered if it was just, you know, that because of the situation they're going into, there is that idea that they need all the help they can get. And so, you know, if there is the potential for some sort of intercession by the old gods, then yeah, it'll be because John's there with him, and so that's a potential benefit. But that, I suppose, it's then the question of, does that mean that he's a true believer, or is he just hedging his bets and hoping that there'll be some help from somewhere?
Yeah, I think that works. But the other thing that I noticed was that, you know, they're having this conversation about how does Mance plan to bring down the wall. He's like, oh, well, he's searching for something in the Frostfangs. And he doesn't mean to go over it, doesn't mean to go under it. He means to break it, right? He wants to create a breach. And Mormont's like, it would take 100 men a year to do that. And he says, sorcery. And it's not hedging his bets.
Yeah,
He thinks that is the only thing that explains the motives of Mance Rayder. It has got to be sorcery. And I feel like we got to find out what it is exactly that he's doing, so much so that he's willing to waste 15 lives, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I thought he was an interesting person to bring in at this point in the story, because we've met a few other true believers in other religions in this story. And so far, I don't know if we have many true believers in the old gods, yeah, in this book.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live. Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new commission podcast out this Tuesday covering The Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwais is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga Sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
I think Corin as well, I think, is a man who knows the North far more than most of the rest of them. I think, you know, you see throughout that the men of the Night's Watch are mostly men from elsewhere, because that's the way the Night's Watch works. But they're mostly Southerners. You know, the knights within their group are still thinking in knightly terms of how warfare should work. You know, when they're having that argument about tactics and things, what they should do next. I think, but they're still thinking in practical terms, in non-mythical terms or non, you know,
right,
magical terms. But I think. The half-hand absolutely understands the reality of the North, and I think Mormont does as well. So that conversation, I think, is really important. But it's then what happens next, because if the rest don't believe, then that's when things potentially start to fall apart.
Now, I was going to ask a question about Scottish politics and myth making in the medieval period. My sense is that there were some people who were very superstitious during this period and would make decisions based on superstition. But I also think that there were probably people that were not superstitious in a way that it would affect their political decisions. And so I'm wondering if you could speak to that. Like, in what way did superstition play into the politics of medieval Scotland?
There's a whole thing to be said about myth making in Scotland as it relates to you know, where the Scots come from and what their history is. And that goes through dramatic change, particularly because of the Wars of Independence. But I suppose that's more about creation myths rather than mystery. I mean, I suppose in terms of the latter, it's far more based on religion, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, the very real belief that God and or the saints may intercede on your behalf to grant you victory, to give you success. And that's why you have, you know, religious banners and indeed religious relics being taken with armies to battlefields. You know, you have the various the reliquaries that are taken by Robert Bruce to the site of the Battle of Bannockburn to provide that saintly intercession to hope that it helps bring victory.
Now, would the relics be like a skull of a saint, or what were the relics that they were using?
Yeah, I mean, it's possibly the more smaller ones, you know, like a finger bone or that type of thing. But yeah, that physical representation of the saint, you know, that piece of them, which despite, you know, being relatively small, still possesses that miraculous potential, and which can then be depended upon to provide the saint's intercession to help you and be on your side.
Let me go ahead and read my synopsis of this chapter, and we'll talk more about it. As Mormont's company waits for reinforcements from the Shadow Tower, he and his men grow impatient. Differences of opinion grow on matters of strategy and direction. Finally, Corrin Halfhand arrives with several wounded men. Corrin brings news that his men tracked down several wildlings who have been sent to scout the wall. He questioned one who confirmed the size and strength of Manse Raider's host. Upon Corrin's advice, Mormont will send 3 troops of 5 men into the mountains to bring word of Manse's sorcery. Corrin chooses Jon to go with the Rangers. So, Ian, what were your key observations about this chapter?
I mean, I think this chapter follows up on the couple that come before it in terms of Jon's perspective on things and very much, again, reinforcing that image of the unpleasantness of military campaigning. I mean, obviously, campaigning in the north isn't fun with it being so cold and uninhabited, but yeah, just the kind of reinforcement of things, even just that brief description of John getting up, you know, dusting the dew off his cloak, yeah, before putting it on, and then Dolorous Head complaining in front of the fire about the cold and wishing he was an egg being boiled and things, you know, just all of this and the deeply unpleasant nature of it, that again smacks up against more chivalric tales about what fighting and what warfare is meant to be like. And
yeah, there's
very real alternative.
There's sort of like complaining and complaining. There's like 3 different shades of complaints in this chapter. You've got Dolores the Ed, who I think he knows he's funny. Like, he's sort of like, yeah, he says something like, you know, I would rather be boiled in, you know, drown in warm wine. Of course, you know, there are worse ways to die. I once found a brother who died in a poor vintage, and of course the corpse didn't improve the vintage. And John says, "You drank the wine?" And he's like, "Well, if you found a dead brother, you would need a drink too." So I think, you know, there's sort of that kind of complaining, which, you know, can kind of have the opposite effect if it is funny, right? It's like gallows humor or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you also meet these other guys who are like, you know, complaining that Mormont isn't more aggressive. Like, we should attack. And then you kind of, John overhears these other guys that are like, this whole thing's a fool's errand. Mormont's lost it. So, you know, sort of dissension in the ranks kind of complaining as well. Anyway, I just thought there are appropriate ways to complain and and inappropriate ways to complain, but all of these presuppose that campaigning in the snow and the cold is just miserable.
Yes, I think that that point as well about the complaining. I think the knights or the kind of leader figures, the ones that are arguing over tactics and strategy. I think that that's kind of as it should be in inverted commas. You know, the medieval commanders, medieval kings. You know, they would take advice from their commanders, and indeed that's supposed to be the right thing to do, the right thing to behave. You listen to different opinions and then you make a decision. So them providing alternatives, I think, is you know, again, in inverted commas, the right way to do things. Although Mormont not making a decision has the potential to cause disquiet. But yeah, that point about the common soldiers grumbling about things and the potential danger there, we have to assume that kind of thing would happen on a campaign, because yes, that's when you have that many men together with weapons, they are always a potential danger, and if they get unhappy, then the danger increases. But yeah, it's what Mormont potentially does about that, and I suppose it doesn't really get tested, but it does reinforce the dangers of military campaigning. You can't assume that your soldiers are all with you, and you know, we've seen before that the Night's Watch are not exactly particularly given to good behavior all the time due to the various ones who flee, despite the fact that we know they're going to get killed if they do. So, yeah.
It reminded me, I don't know if you've seen Saving Private Ryan. It's a Tom Hanks joint, basically. But have you seen that movie?
I have, yes, a long time ago.
Okay, well, there's this one scene that's kind of great where Tom Hanks is explaining in the proper chain of command, complaints go up.
Yeah.
Like, you complain to me, and then I complain to my superior, and then he complains to his. So you'll never catch me complaining, you know, in the downward direction. Mm. I only complain, you know, to my superior officer. So anyway, it's a great little, I suppose it's a great little window into the chain of command, I suppose.
Mm, yeah.
I think that in this chapter, John does represent something of that Arthurian figure, because, like I mentioned, like Corin comes into camp and he immediately sizes him up, like, you're a Stark. I heard you have a wolf. And then it ends with Corin saying, I'm going to take him with me. And it's almost as if Corin has this sense that this kid is more than meets the eye. So in other words, John is kind of hidden in plain sight, but he's all potential. And Corin happens to be one of the few people that can see John's potential. And my sense is that the reason why he can see John's potential, or thinks he can, is because he really believes the mythology around the Starks. You know, there must always be a Stark in Winterfell, and if we're going to save the North, we're going to have to get the Starks involved.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just feel like this guy has this mythological infrastructure that allows him to see the potential in John, even though he is kind of still just this boyish figure.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose John does have that throughout, doesn't he? You know, that despite him being the illegitimate son, despite him being stashed away in the family and junior to the rest of them because of his birth, that he's always there to be picked out and to achieve something more. But then I suppose that's what Martin's deliberately constructing, isn't it? Because he knows what he should know, what his ultimate success is going to be, or whatever. I think that it comes back to that point again, that Halfhand does seem to know what he's doing. And so, yes, perhaps does spot something. But you have to say Mormont probably did too. You know, he has taken John on as his steward.
Right.
That's a very, very clear show of his support of John and his belief in John, that he keeps him close and depends on him to an extent. So yeah, it's kind of continuing that kind of strand, isn't it?
So one of the things that is suggested and this is by Thorin Smallwood, is that the proper thing to do would be to sneak up and attack on Mance Rayder's host, which seems to be several thousand strong, with 200 mounted, you know, men of the Night's Watch.
Hmm.
Is this suicide? I mean, I'm just, is it, I mean, is there any world in which 2,000 mounted troops could sneak up on a host of several thousand and not be completely taken down?
I mean, I think the way he describes it, though, is telling, you know, that idea of, you know, the sheep can get easily dispatched by, you know, a small number of a large herd of sheep can get dispatched by a small number of wolves. It's emphasizing the quality of the soldier as he sees it anyway, and thus the lack of quality of the enemy. And I suppose what we get from a snapshot of that discussion is and as is put to him as well, that you know, there are those within that flock of sheep who are far more dangerous, and him just lumping them all into one group of, well, you know, they're just wildlings, they're all rubbish, we'll defeat them with ease, no matter how few we are, is itself a misconception and a misunderstanding. But he's also very obviously overemphasizing the quality of the troops that are with the Night's Watch. Yes, he might be a knight, and there may be other knights and former knights amongst their number, but there's also any number of, you know, former criminals and very low quality soldiers.
Or people like Sam, right?
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, and people like Sam. So yeah, he's underestimating the enemy. He's over-exaggerating his own side, and I think that reinforces the fact that he has an idea of how it should go, but that doesn't mean it will. Of course, that doesn't mean that these things aren't possible. Although the only example that that's coming to mind at the moment is the Knights Templar during the Crusades period. They do get into a battle at one point where they're in exactly that kind of situation, and they charge into the thick of it, content in the quality of themselves as soldiers and their armor and everything else, and of course they get wiped out. So yeah, that's not perhaps the best comparative example.
Well, I mean, the analogy that Thorin uses is that he's like, well, you know, you send 200 wolves in among, you know, 10,000 sheep, you see what's going to happen here. So yeah, I mean, he just has this, I think, unrealistic view of the quality of the men of the Night's Watch.
Mm.
I don't know what he's thinking. I mean, I think that Mormont probably is right not to take this guy's advice.
Yeah, I think, again, he will, you know, he'll let him speak. He'll want to hear what he has to say, but the decision is his. And obviously, even others amongst the Night's Watch see that as a rather daft idea. Just as you were talking there, it occurs to me as well that advice is also completely ignorant of, you know, he makes the comment of it being, you know, that half the army's like women and things. But as we'll come to see with someone like Ygritte, wilding women are not to be trifled with either.
Yeah.
So there is that.
That's right. That's exactly right. So there's this, I think implicit there in the suggestion is there's this contingent among the Night's Watch, and I don't know how big it is, but there are folks who just are believers in the cause of the Night's Watch. And I think when Corin shows up, you really get the sense that he's got this idea of a noble death.
Mm.
And he even says, like, well, it might be a death sentence to wait here and face Mance head on. But if we do that, it will be dying for the realm. And we'll be giving our brothers at the wall a bit more time. And, you know, in other words, he views certain kinds of death in battle to be honorable.
Mm.
And I don't think that you I really don't think you can create an army without people like this.
Yeah, I think, again, I suppose it comes back to the practicalness of the half hand, you know, that comment of, well, if we have to give our lives, then it gives more time to our brothers back at the wall to prepare. You know, that there is an innate practicality in that. But yes, absolutely, there is that idea of the good death, that dying in a cause, and I think that's an important element to it, that he sees, you know, the Night's Watch as a calling, almost, and that dying in that cause is no bad thing if it's for a greater good. And there is almost a quasi-religious element to that as well, I suppose. But yeah, again, it also speaks to a kind of chivalric style thinking of, you know, dying in battle, dying with your armor on, dying facing the enemy and fighting for the right reasons, it is a noble end. And I think that kind of belief should be unsurprising amongst a warrior culture, because it gives you solace if you're going to go into battle knowing that you know, at least you'll have a positive outcome, even if you die in it in your post life, because you've died fighting for the right reason.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting... I'm surprised we don't have more of these characters, because I feel like it almost is sort of this default setting that underlies the chivalric life or the value system. You know, I kind of feel like, you know, we meet so many cynics in this world, or, you know, so yes, so many sort of real politic, you know, masterminds, or people who are, you know, trying their best, or people that, you know, they like Kat, they just want whatever outcome will bring her children home or something like that. Every now and again, though, we will meet someone like Brienne, or we'll meet someone like Corrin Halfhand, who's like, that's what I'm devoting my life to. And if it ends in battle, then maybe that's even for the better. You know, they're going to sing songs about me or something like that if that happens. I don't know. I feel like I meet so many cynics on these pages that someone like Corrin Halfhand kind of really sticks out to me.
Yeah, I do think that's very deliberate on Martin's part, though. I do still think that, as we discussed before, I think he does lean on the negative side of anything kind of chivalric and things. And those who are held up as potentially representative of a more positive kind of vision of chivalry or warrior culture are then often treated abysmally. You know, they're killed or they are mistreated and suffer appallingly, in part because of it. Whereas those who are just negative and who treat things in a very practical way, but not from a positive sense, are the ones who get off with it, are the ones who are doing the mistreatment. So yeah, Corrin Halfhand ends up dead at the end of it. He ends up, happens to him what he describes effectively, and indeed sacrificed, you know, by John himself.
I mean, he does set it up. I mean, Martin seems to be setting this up for, this is the kind of person who believes in the cause so wholly, so entirely, that he will give his life, you know, without a second thought. Which, of course, brings me to my next question. Does Corrin Halfhand have this in mind all along? Does he think that maybe our best hope is to have someone assassinate Mance Rayder, and I'm going to bring a group of people north, and I'm going to die for the cause, and hopefully get someone undercover in Mance Rayder's army? Or is that something that he just comes up with on the fly? Is this something that is this some strategy that he's not sharing with Mormont, is my question.
I suppose my natural suspicion would be that he's not necessarily looking that far ahead. I mean, it would also perhaps run slightly counter to what we've been discussing, although it would reinforce the practical side of him. And yes, that belief in the cause and potentially dying for it, but I suppose it's whether you then consider, you know, assassination of an enemy to be the right way to behave in that.
That's a good point.
But I think also, I think, you know, he is fleet of foot. He is adaptable. And so, yes, when they're captured by the wildlings, I think he perhaps sees an opportunity then. Certainly an opportunity to get John within, because he does say to Mormont, you know, so, you know, even if I'm killed, someone will come back out of the Frostfangs to tell you what's going on. So I mean, perhaps he sees John then with the opportunity to gather more intelligence, but also the wherewithal to get himself out again and to get back to his brothers in the Night's Watch to tell them what the hell's going on when he has the opportunity.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point. Like, I think I had probably didn't consider that the notion of winning a war by way of assassination would be considered, you know, dirty play, right?
Mm. To some, anyway, maybe not to all.
Yeah, certainly not to Stannis. No. All right, another little bit of conjecture here, which will require a little bit of magical speculation. Does Sam have a magic horn?
Yeah, it's such a fleeting mention, isn't it? I suppose it's all very introductory here. Even the descriptions of the dragonglass dagger and the arrowheads and things, it's all speculative because John doesn't know what they're for and nobody else does. Although, of course, it will become apparent to us as time goes on. So I suppose it's that kind of foreshadowing, potentially. But I don't know off the top of my head. I can't remember, actually. Is it meant to be a magical horn?
I don't see. This is a good question. As far as we know, it was only there to hold a bunch of dragon glass or whatever. But we know that there are magic horns in this world, and this is a very horn-centric chapter. It begins with the blowing of a horn, and there's talk of, you know, the magic horn, or, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's an interesting, it's a little, I don't know, little treasure that's kind of hidden in the story. Could it be a horn that takes down the wall? Could it be a horn that could bind a dragon? Is it some other kind of horn? I mean, we know that this is a world with magic horns, and this particular horn seems to be useless. But I think John kind of finds it in a magical way in the previous chapter. You know, Ghost kind of leads him to this spot where it's buried. And we know that Dragonglass has sort of a magical property in this world. So,
yeah.
I wanted to also call out that Mormont's Raven has a few things to say. he says the raven yells something and then yells waits two times and then yells die five times. So I think most of the time when I hear what these birds say, I think could be nothing at all, but in this case, something waits and then die five times, it sounds like a warning.
Yeah.
To me. Anyway, I thought that was worth noting.
See, I missed that altogether. So.
I've been kind of, whenever, I've been trying to pay attention to what the birds say in these chapters. Introductions in this chapter, we hear about Rattleshirt, Harma the Dog's Head, the Weeping Man, Lark the Sister Man, Eben, and then notable departures, we hear that Alfin Crowkiller, who's just been introduced, has been killed himself. So these are just sort of, I guess, introductions to formidable wildlings that, you know, are going to cause them a problem. By way, you know, either by way of sort of rumor or... Or is this just a way to kind of bring a little bit of texture to wildling culture before John actually meets any honest-to-goodness wildlings? Show differences. I thought it was interesting that John finds the dragon glass, and I thought it was interesting that the book is a little bit more patient to show how much war is about waiting and getting bored, because he's got the time to craft these, you know, this obsidian into daggers and to give them as gifts to people waiting. You know, you just get the sense that there's not a whole lot to do on this mountain. So as they're waiting, why not take this dragon glass and create little daggers out of them or something? That, of course, not in the show.
No, to follow up on that just briefly as well, I think also, obviously, that they're camped out here on the Fist of the First Man, but the whole point of them going north at all in the first place is to try and work out what's going on, to try and seek out Manchu Raider's army. They're here about it, but they never see it. And I think it reinforces that point that, you know, armies don't just turn up at a prearranged point and fight, although that could happen. But, you know, you have to actually physically go out and locate the enemy. And considering the sheer scale of the North, it's no mean feat for the Night's Watch. And it's obviously a long process, and you know, they don't find the army, although obviously John does in the end, but through less normal means.
Right. And in terms of departures, you know, Corin departs with John. We would assume at the end of this chapter, even if off page. And I think that this is the end of the John and Mormont relationship. I don't think that John and Mormont ever see each other again after this.
Yeah. And a large interruption to the John and Sam relationship as well.
That's right. You noted in your notes that there was a difference between the show and the book in terms of John's selection to range north.
Going to be more organized than before, more disciplined, more like us. So we need to be more like them. Do things their way. Sneak in, kill Mance, and scatter them to the winds before they can march on the wall. And to do that,
we need to get rid of those lookouts.
It's not a job for 400 men. I need to move fast and silent. Harker, Stone Snake, Barber.
Lord Commander, I'd like to join Lord Corin.
I've been called lots of things, but that might be my first Lord Corin.
You're a steward, Snow, not a ranger. You fought and killed a white. How many rangers can say that?
He's the one.
Aye. You killed a white. You also let an old man beat your bloody and take your sword.
Praster. Well, in the boy's defense, that's a tough old goat.
I could take up John's duties while he's gone, my lord. It'd be no trouble.
I hope you make a better ranger than you do as steward.
Yeah, I think that you... John has given more... Mormont, I think, digs his heels in a bit more in the show, in terms of saying, well, no, they shouldn't go. And so John then has to do a bit more in the way of arguing and or pleading to go with Halfhands. It's not quite as straightforward. In the book, it's just, you know, he asks John if he wants to go, and John says yes, and Mormont relents. It's a bit more involved in the TV show, and whether that's just to, you know, build up the character a bit more, trying to emphasize his bravery or what have you, but yeah, it just seemed a bit more detailed than the book was.
Yeah, right. Ian, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Evan, would you give a brief synopsis to those listening what it is we're doing today?
Sure, put me on the spot there.
So I do this with Steve all the time. Yeah, just put him on the spot
And if he bungles it, then he looks bad.
Perfect. That's yeah. So we are doing the House of Dragon fantasy draft today. Well, I guess we're doing one half of the participants. We'll be drafting. We're calling them point scorers.
We're also calling this draft an auction.
You're correct. It is a fantasy auction. So think fantasy. And if you've been involved in a fantasy football auction before. We're going to be picking teams that are made up of one character that is loyal to Team Green, one character that is loyal to Team Black, a flex character, a stranger, one dragon, and then three phrases that if characters were to say, for example, my lord, you would get a set number of points.
Welcome, Gerard. I think that the gang is all here now. So I have welcomed a few of people that I've met along the way, people I've met by email, people I've met because they're my sibling. Say hello, Tara. Tara's going to be our master of coin, and she's going to be doing some, she'll be keeping track of numbers on a spreadsheet, and I hope that you all have access to that spreadsheet because it may be helpful. And then, of course, I've invited my co-host, Steve, to be our auctioneer today. And I might say a little bit more about this draft, but I thought maybe we could just toss it to Steve, and Steve will go ahead and let us know what our bid order is going to be.
Yes. So we have randomized the bid order. I have done this in a very scientific way. I went onto a virtual dice site. I rolled the die to give me the number of randomizations that I would then put all of your names into. So that way we don't just do one and done. It rolled a six. My dogs are here. They witnessed it. You may question my integrity, but you may not question theirs. rolled a six. So I put your names in the order that it was in the email that I received, which was alphabetical by first name. Put it in a randomization. I did six randomizes. And this is our order. This is not even Anthony knows this. So, but number one pick, the number one auction bid will go to Gerard.
Gerard, let's hear what your house name and house words, please.
Yes. So my house name is House Chrome, and my words are In Radiance We Rise.
Love it. Very good.
Second pick will go to Anthony Ladon.
I am House Placebo in a Gazebo. Our house words are, we are here to make friends.
Number three, David.
I am House of the Dogs. My house words are strength through unity, honor through victory for the red and black endures.
Four goes to Fran.
So I am the Gridiron Throne, and the words are not for long.
Fifth pick goes to Steve Barnes.
My house is... House Sweet Leaves. I don't remember my house words. I'm looking frantically for them now. That's typical of House Sweet Leaves.
I'll tell you what House Sweet Leaves words are.
Thank you.
House Sweet Leaves. I've got it right here.
I hope it's funny.
No, it's not. But it is a house at rest is blessed. Those are several words strung together.
Yes.
That's
a house at rest is blessed. Yeah. Yes.
And I just want to welcome laugh love.
I just want to also welcome David from the Lorehounds. I invited David to join us and just make snide remarks at at us and what we're wearing, what we look like, our bad decision making, and just general nerdiness. Thank you for being here, David.
No worries. I think I'm doing some stuff with this tomorrow too, right?
So yeah, indeed. Indeed, yeah. Indeed. All right, Steve, who's next?
And number six, Evan.
Hello. My house is House Clubby McClubfeet, and our words are, we do not tow.
That's right.
Very nice. Yeah, you got a little giggle from Steve. That means
that's something. All I was going for.
Very good. Is that it? Is that our whole crew?
That's not. Don't say it like that. That's it.
That's it. Everyone has. All right, so we can begin, right?
Sure.
All right. Let's get one name off the board, and then we'll introduce a few of these particulars for the listening audience.
All right. So the opening bid goes to Gerard.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off with phrases. So in the category of phrases, my first phrase is going to be the realm with 40 stags.
40 stags. So we have 40 stags for the realm in the phrases category.
Dang, that's a really good
45 stags, please.
Oh, man.
Yeah, 45.
That's a phrase that could be uttered, I don't know, like 9 times an episode, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to raise that to 50 unless anyone else.
Up to 50.
This is going awry. I had no idea that this was
55.
Wow. 55. Funny. Anthony, are you going to continue to filibuster or are we going to actually start bidding here? All right?
I'm just amazed. Who would have thought that a phrase would get 45? Where are we at?
I've never seen color commentary at an auction draft. Pipe down. Are we at 55? Is that where we're at? All right. I'm looking at the clock. We have 55 for the realm going once.
All right. I'm going to do 60.
60. The bid is at 60. This is wild.
That's too rich for my blood.
Ooh. Thought it was pot committed. All right, I'm looking around here. 60 for the realm going once. 60 going twice. Sold to Gerard. 60. So exciting.
All right, I'm up, Steve.
You are up, Anthony.
In the category of Team Black, I'm going to propose Daemon Targaryen for 75 stags.
All right, Daemon Targaryen for 75 stags. Anybody want a piece of that action?
I'll go 80.
80. All right, Fran's coming in with 80 for Daemon.
We'll go 85.
85 to Anthony. Arguably the CMC of the, what do we do?
If you mean bound to be injured at any point.
Well, no, I guess CMC does get up.
Do I get him?
Too rich for me. I'm out on 85.
85 was where we were at. Going once, going twice. Anthony's got himself some Daemon.
Just take a quick break here and tell our listeners what the general rules are for this game. So clearly we're drafting characters. The characters can earn points by simply being on screen. They can earn more points for eating on screen or drawing a weapon on screen. We've got a whole list of actions that you can get points for. In addition to that, you can get points for your character saying an approved phrase. We've got a list of approved phrases. And then if your character says a phrase that you own the rights to, you're going to multiply those. So that's really kind of one of the big ways to earn a lot of points in this league. And then the other thing is dragons. You get 20 points if your dragon breathes fire. So that's kind of the gist of it. There's a lot of other intricacies here and there, but that is the general idea of our fantasy league. And with that, I'll pass it back to Steve.
All right. So next up, David.
All right. I guess I'm going to go in the green category, Otto Hightower. 35 stags.
All right, Otto for 35. Anybody want a piece of that action?
I'll take 40.
All right, Steve's coming in with 40, coming in hot.
45.
I'll go 45 on Otto.
I'll go 50.
Ooh, okay, 50. We're at 50. Or I could even break that 45 tie. Anybody going to go higher than 50 for Otto? Crunch the numbers. 50 going once.
I'll go 55.
Oh, 55. David comes in with 55. 55 is the number. Evan's getting pensive.
60.
That look. 60. We're at 60. Okay.
Otto talks a lot, but does he do a lot? That's my question.
You know what? You're just in here just causing all kinds of problems. This is the kind of trash talk to expect all season long. All right. We're looking at 60 for Otto. 60 going once, 60 going twice, 60 sold. Congratulations. All right.
Sold to who?
Oh, to Evan.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Fran.
Gridiron Throne is going to propose the bidding for Team Green, Queen Alicent Hightower. And I'm going to start the bidding at 30.
All right, 30 for Queen Allison. Anybody want a piece of that?
35.
35 to Steve.
I'll go 70.
70. Ooh, wow, here comes.
I'll take 75.
Woo!
75.
Now I'll take cooking. 80.
80. Mm-hmm. We got them shaking off. 80. 80 going once. 80 going twice. Sold.
Sold to who?
Yeah, Anthony.
Anthony. And how much was it?
80.
Okay. 80.
I'm gonna take a look.
And Evan, you got auto for 60, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great.
Very exciting. All right, Steve, bid is yours.
Yes, for Team Black, I will take the Black Queen for 50.
Black Queen for 50.
We'll go up to 75 there.
75 to Fran, Gridiron Throne, 75.
Sure,
80.
Oh, I got an 80.
I'll take 85.
85 to Steve coming in. He's not even going to wait for the tie break.
I'll take 90.
90 to Fran.
Do you, Doug, on 95?
95 for Steve.
95 South.
My sense is that this is the character with the most speaking lines of the second season.
I'll go 100.
100 to Fran. I like what we're seeing here.
I do not like 100.
Triple digits. 100 going once. 100 going twice. Sold. Gridiron Throne.
Fran, was that your first winning bid?
It was my first winning bid. She was at the top of my team green.
Oh, man. So. You're looking real good on this.
100 for Queen Rhaenyra. Okay. Mm-hmm. Great.
All right. All right. 6. Evan.
Okay. I'm going to bid in the phrase category. And I'm going to bid Hand of the King. And I will start at 35.
35 for Hand of the King phrase.
I like that for 40.
40 to Steve.
I'll throw out 45.
45 to Gerard.
50.
50 to Steve. 50 going once. 50 going twice. Sold to Steve with the phrase Hand of the King. And Anthony, did you establish when it comes to the order here? Are we just going right back to one, or are we actually incorporating Snake in the auction?
I'll leave that to you.
Oh, no. I'm confused.
I believe this is a sea snake trap.
We will sea snake it. Here we go. So that means Evan, you're back on.
Here we go. Okay. Wasn't expecting that. All right, that's fine because I'm a quick feet. I'm going to go back to phrases. And I am going to go with small council, and I'm going to bid 30.
30 for the phrase small council. Wheels are turning. All right, 30 clean. For small council. Was that a bid, Steve?
Oh, no, I was saying that was nice and clean.
Yeah, 30 going once, 30 going twice. 30, small council for Evan.
I should have bid 20.
Too late,
I hate
son.
This game. I hate this game.
All right, that brings us to Steve. Steve now with the bid.
I'll go for Team Green, and I would like to take King Aegon the Second. I'll go 55 on the guy.
55 for King Aegon.
I'll go 60.
60 to Fran.
65.
65 back to Steve. 65 for King Aegon going once. 65 going twice. Sold to Steve for 65.
Hell yeah. My man. Oh, I'm sorry. Repeat out. How much did I bid, Fran? 65?
65.
Okay, cool.
Like King Aegon the Second, Steve B just spilled his seed out the window.
Just another day, you know.
Fran, you're up.
Let's go down to phrases, and I'm gonna open up the bidding here for Blood of the Dragon. We're gonna go with 15 here.
15 for the phrase Blood of the Dragon. 15 for Blood of the Dragon going once. 15 going twice. Sold to Fran for 15. Blood of the Dragon, the phrase. All right, David.
We're going to go Team Green, Prince Aemon Targaryen for 50.
All right. Prince Aemon for 50. 50 going once. 50 going twice.
I'll go 55.
55 sneaking
there
in with
you
Fran
go.
There.
There Woo. You go.
Now we have some action here.
Great value.
Last minute, 50, dude.
55 for King Aemon. Here we go. What do we got?
60.
60 from David.
Yeah, I don't think I can go higher.
I'm the only one without anybody on the board yet, so I've got all the stat.
60 going once. 60 going twice. Sold to David. King Aemon for 60. All right, Anthony. What do you got?
I'm going to suggest the phrase Iron Throne for 5 silver stags.
Iron Throne for 5.
I'll take that. 10 there.
I'll go 15.
I'll go 20. Who had 20?
Gerard.
So I said 20. I don't know if someone
else. Oh, Gerard with 20?
25.
25 to see for the Iron Throne.
I'll go 30.
All right, 30. 30 for the Iron Throne.
35.
35 to Steve.
I'll go 40.
40 to Gerard. 40 going once. 40 going twice. 40 sold to Gerard. Iron Throne.
How we doing, David? Does this do you have any sense of who's doing best? Who's doing worst?
Well, so when I put my board together, I kind of gave them all letter grades, and you're the only one with 2 A's on the board right now. So I like your spot, but also you're running a little low on stags.
This is part of the problem.
Part of the problem.
There's a few people whose opening bid was too rich for my blood.
Yep, and the phrases that the cost of those are all over the place, and there's a lot of phrases, so it's calculated risks.
And now the other David, any sense of how we're doing here?
Yeah, I think the economy of scale here is really interesting. So people went hot, and now I think you were the first one to do a lower bid on that, or was it who?
I started at $5.
The $5 or the $5 stag bid.
Yeah.
So everybody, I think people are being really strategic and considering. It seems like everybody's got a little bit of a game plan here, and they're kind of sticking to it. I don't see a lot of hot action going on.
I'm a little bit intimidated by Fran. I feel like he's owned me so far.
I don't like that. I want to lay in the weeds here. Don't look at me.
It's exactly why I'm afraid of you. All right, let's get back to this, Steve.
All right, Gerard, what do you got for us?
All right, I'm going to bid on a member of Team Black. I'm going to go with Jacerys for 30 stags.
30 for Jacerys.
I'll play with that, 35.
35 to Steve.
I'll go 40.
40 to Gerard.
Yeah, same, 45.
45 to Steve.
I'll do 50.
50 to Gerard.
Mm-mm. This is where we get it. Oh, I'll be broke. So yeah, you got it.
50 going once, 50 going twice. Sold to Gerard.
You broke the man.
All right. We snaking. Gerard, you're up again.
All right. I'm going to go with a phrase, and I'm going to put 10 stags on the Red Keep.
10 for Red Keep.
I'll go 15.
15 to Evan. 15 going once. 15 going twice. Sold to Evan. 15 for the Red Keep. All right, Dr. Ladon.
I'm going to throw out a dragon.
Sorry, one second. How much did the Red Keep go for?
15.
I'm going to throw out Sheep Stealer for one silver stag.
Dragon Sheep Stealer for one stag.
There you go.
That's a choice. I don't know if it's a good one.
$1
nobody,
going
nobody
once.
Wants
someone,
to go
someone,
for it.
Someone save me, please.
$1 going twice. And Anthony stole the Sheep Stealer. $1.
Good bargain. Good bargain.
It's going to be a whole right. episode around sheep. We're all screwed.
All where right. I find out that Anthony has the screeners.
I hate my team. Yeah. I hate it. I hate it so much.
There's the one episode where Sheep Stealer just speaks so much. All right. David, you're up.
Was that all the right. first one with no second bid?
Yeah, so, it was a buck.
Sorry. Sorry. Keep going.
No, that was good. All right, I'll stay in the dragons and go with Caraxes for 10.
You want another dragon, Anthony?
Yeah, I'm going to go 11 on this one.
11.
What happened? Increments of 5.
I got poor.
Yeah.
12.
Sorry, Anthony, was Sheep Stealer a phrase or a dragon?
It's the name of a dragon.
So you can't have a second dragon, right?
I can put him in the category of stranger.
Okay, got it.
You can put it anywhere he wants. It just may not make no points for him. But...
So, yeah, I said 11.
Yeah, and there was a 12, right?
12 for Caraxes.
I'll go 15.
15 for Caraxes.
20.
20.
I'll go 22.
21. Somebody said 22, right?
Correct.
I'll go 23. Yeah,
23 to Anthony.
25.
28. To David. 28 to Evan.
30.
30 to Anthony.
That's crazy. Anthony's after it.
35.
Spend those stags.
35 to Evan.
36.
36. Death by 1,000 paper cuts over there.
I'm out.
37.
37.
38.
38 Anthony.
I take him right up to his 44 that he has remaining. 40, 43, Anthony.
43.
I do believe I'm out.
43 going once. 43 going
That's
twice.
That's fine. I got Sheep Stealer.
Sold to David.
Trade you Caraxes for Sheep Stealer.
Straight up.
Straight up? Woo! I'll have to think about it.
Can you trade, like, add some stags in there too?
You can? I don't think I'm going to have many left, though. But
all right. We're back to Fran.
I'm going to go to the greens. We're going to go Sir Criston Cole. And I'm going to go with 30.
30 for Sir Criston Cole.
I'll go 32.
32 to Evan.
I'll go 35.
35 to Fran.
36.
36 to Evan.
Let's go with a clean 38.
38. Fran. 38 going once. 38 going twice. Sold to Fran, Sir Criston Cole for 38 stags. All right, Steve. The floor is yours.
I'm going for Team Black here. Lady Rihanna will go for 25.
25 for Lady Rihanna. 25 going once. 25 going twice. Sold to Steve for 25.
Actually getting a team together now. Okay.
All right. That brings us to Evan.
Okay. I'm going to try and finish out my phrases. And I'm going to go with my slash your grace. I'm going to put 25.
30.
20, 30 for my slash your grace.
Damn. 35.
35 to Evan.
37.
40.
37 to Evan. Ooh, 40.
42.
42 to Fran.
Fran, how you got all these stacks, man?
45.
45 to Steve. It's a solid phrase. Anthony's out of the bidding.
Yeah, this was at the top of my list.
45 going once. 45 going twice.
What value?
46.
Sold. Oh.
Wait, wait. All right, so auctioneer, make the ruling.
It's a tough one because I was. It was at so. It was before old. And technically, it has. You have to get the old out. Okay. So if you can get it in during the actual word sold.
All right. So who has Evan, the who has the lead bet? Bid then?
I have 46, Evan.
46 to Evan.
And if that stands, I'll go 47.
I can. Enjoy that phrase.
Thank you.
47 Your grace. Going once. 47 going twice. So will da. 47 with the phrase.
Tara, am I broke?
To Steve.
For Steve, let me put that in real quick. 47 for a phrase. And you have 23 left.
Rich man. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do we want to do a little pause for a second so I kind of get people caught up in case you're having a hard time keeping track, right? So, David, right now you have 107. Evan, you have 105. Fran with 57. Gerard with 60. Steve with 23. And Anthony with 44.
Do you guys want to add more coins? Since this is the first time you're doing this, does it seem like this is too low? You're going to stick with the
No, 210? I feel like that's unfair now.
No.
Yeah, give me more coins. I like
that. Yeah,
I
take strategy.
People have made decisions based on their coin. And
that's right.
And in case you guys were wondering, in the Ladon family, like, who has grace and who doesn't?
I do like the idea that our master of coin is a little bit shady with the numbers. Kind of doing the little finger approach to the books because here.
I mean, 210 is such an odd then? Number. Why not 250? Let's
210.
Bring it up to
I'm glad you asked. 210 is the amount of silver stags it takes to make one gold dragon.
Oh, that's right.
The world of Game of Thrones.
That's an incredible fun fact.
Yeah, it is. I had a gold dragon at one time. Damn it.
Could have just gone all in.
I mean, why do one move? Gold dragon when you can have one sheep stealer for one 210th of the price?
The thing about getting a dragon is as soon as you get it off the lot, it depreciates. And so I feel like now my dragon is worth about a copper, you know? All right, let's keep this rolling then, Steve.
All right, Evan, you're back up.
Okay, back up. Let's go back to the phrase wheelhouse or whatever they say. I'm going to go seven kingdoms, and I'm going to go 15 stacks.
15 for seven kingdoms, the phrase.
20.
I'm going to go 25.
25 to Gerard.
I'll go 28.
28 to Fran. 29.
30.
29. 30.
31.
31 to Anthony.
33 for Gridiron Throne.
33 to Bran.
34.
34 to Anthony.
35.
35, Devin.
I'll go 36.
36 to Fran. A little rivalry going on right now.
Yeah, yeah. I don't appreciate it.
36 going once. 36 going twice. Sold to Fran. 36 for the phrase, seven kingdoms. All right, Steve.
Oh, back to me. Hey. Yeah, I will go with one more phrase. Kingsguard. That has been taken yet, right?
Nope.
Five, please.
$5 for Kingsguard.
Six.
Six to Anthony.
Eight.
Eight to Evan.
Ten.
10.
12.
12 to Evan. 12 going once. 12 going twice. Sold to Evan for 12. Kingsguard. All right, Fran, the floor is yours.
Let's stay in phrases. For one, I am going to bid Dragon Rider.
Dragon Rider for one.
I'm going to bid five.
Five to Gerard.
Ten.
Ten to David.
15.
15 to Anthony.
20.
20 to David.
21.
21 to Anthony.
25.
25 to David.
26.
26 to Anthony.
27.
27 to David.
28.
28 to Anthony.
30.
30 to David.
I'm out.
30 going once. 30 going twice. Sold to David for 30, Dragon Rider. Quite the start there, Frant. Or not that one. Watching that stag drop.
Gotta chum the water.
All right, David, you are up.
All right. I am going over to Team Black. The Sea Snake for 15.
Sea Snake for 15.
I'll go 18.
18 to Evan.
I'll go 20.
20 to Gerard. 25.
30.
30 to Evan.
I'll go 32.
32 to Gerard.
35.
35 to Dave.
About 36.
36 to Gerard.
40.
40 to David. 40 going once. 40 going twice. Sold to David for 40, the Sea Snake.
Good value on that.
Anthony, you no longer have the least amount. Now you're hanging in there right in the middle of the pack.
The phrase Dracarys for 5 silver stacks.
Phrase 5 for 5 Dracarys.
I can go 6 there.
6.
10.
10.
I'll do 11.
11 to Gerard.
We'll go 12.
12 to Anthony. 12 going once. 12 going twice. Sold to Anthony for 12.
How many times did we hear Dracarys in season 1?
Not like, enough.
Two or three times, maybe.
The funeral
maybe
more than once.
That's not enough to pay 12 yeah, cents.
Exactly.
Usually yeah, done that, for dramatic funeral effect.
Right.
But boy, you never miss it.
Right. It is.
It's the one where they just do that one episode where, for some reason, Sheep Stealer keeps saying it.
Roasted lamb. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
Why isn't anybody saying Dracarys? They don't think I can. All right. Gerard, you're up.
Right. I'm going to go for a dragon. I'm going to choose Vermix for 20 stacks.
20 stacks.
Which one is this?
Vermix.
20 going once. 20 going twice. Sold to Gerard.
Wasn't Vermax also Vermax part of the Betamax VHS wars? Vermax? Kind of tape?
It's a cold sore ointment. Okay. Get the generic. It's cheaper. It does the same.
I think I saw that commercial when we were watching the Star Wars Holiday Film Festival.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I believe the Itchy was using Vermax.
Yes, Itchy was.
Right. Where are we at with Vermax?
It was 20, and it was sold, right?
Yep. Gerard, you're up again.
All right, I'm going to choose a phrase, and I'm going to put 15 on small folk.
Ooh. 15 on small folk.
Just don't say Dracarys when you're on small folk.
15 going once. 15 going twice.
And 16. Sold.
Oh, yep. I got the old up that one.
All right.
I'm going to the replay booth. Yeah, that's sold. All right, Anthony. You're up.
I'm gonna propose from Team Green, Arik Cargill for one silver stag.
All right, Cargill for one.
I'll go three. That's for Arik.
Three to Fran.
Four.
Four to Anthony. Four going once. Four going twice. Sold to Anthony.
Anthony, you already have a team green, right? So is that your stranger?
Oh, do I not have a stranger yet?
You don't have
I don't think yet. You have a stranger yet. So is Sir Arik going in your stranger category?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Or do you want to use him in your phrase?
He'll be my new dragon.
All right, David, you're up.
All right, let's go with my lord hand for three in the phrase category.
My lord hand for three.
Four.
Four to Anthony.
Five
to David. Five going once. Five going twice. Sold for five to David. All right, Fran.
I'll go phrase up. Again.
Can we take a quick pause here?
Sure.
Tara, do you need some time to catch up or are you doing okay?
I'm fine.
All right. Continue.
I'm sorry. In this pause, can I ask David Erickson a question?
You may.
This has been eating me up. Should I have paid 48 for my grace? I really just can't get that out of my head. Would you? You're a neutral third party. I lost it to Steve. Should I have paid 48 for?
Yeah. Yeah. I think my grace is a pretty common phrase. I mean, it's every out of, yeah. For what was your lower bid on that?
I think it went for 47. So I would have had to pay 48.
Yeah. For one stag, you blew it.
I'm really in my head right now.
I think you need to take it off, like, man. I mean, I have no money, so
he's sitting on a. So Evan's in an interesting situation, right? He's like sitting on a lot of stag, and he's got some prime real estate still available. So
heck yeah,
I mean, I would tell you right now, don't sit there. This is just, you know, draft from one drafter to another.
Sure.
You can't be sitting there wringing your hands mid draft. You got to look at this whole thing in total. When it's all said and done. So if you're in your head about something that's already gone, dude, you're already done, bro.
This is my first draft. Forward. So
I disagree. You got to worry about every little decision you make.
Thank you, Fran.
I'm taking my 8-year-old daughter's word of advice and just shaking it off because it's all about the Taylor Swift of it.
Okay, good. Very good.
Yeah. Fran is living rent-free in Evan's head right now.
If Evan plays it right, he can get the next three for whatever amount he wants. I mean, he controls it. He controls the board.
Hype man, Dave. Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's all about cash.
Rules everything around us. Stags rule everything around us. That's what we've been saying since day one. All right, back to Fran. Take us where you're going to take us.
Let's go phrases. I'm going to go with Valyrian steel for one.
Valyrian steel for one.
Say two.
Two to Anthony. Two going once. Two going twice. Sold to Anthony for two. All right, Steve, you are up.
Yeah, I was wondering if I was getting left out or not. I will take the phrase dragon back for two.
Dragon back for two.
Three.
Three to Anthony.
Four. I'll go four there. Here you go. Yep, I'll go five.
Five to Fran.
Six.
Six to Steve. Six going once. Six going twice. Sold for six.
That's an amazing value. I just have to say, for six stags, dragon back.
It is. I was thinking the same thing myself.
Oh, what a great auction, this guy.
Solid value to be had here. I know Evan's just ready to just like, he's you know, I just so you know, I mean, when it's all said and done, you don't actually get to keep any of the stags, right? I mean, like, they're not real things. These are conceptual stags.
As I'm learning this.
You can bank them for mid-season pickups. So that is one strategy.
Ugh. True. Maybe I'm banking them, Steve.
That is an important point, I think, that Anthony, of mid-season strategies.
That was my original strategy going in, was to like save all my money. And here I am with 16 or something.
So you're actually using FAB, is that right?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's that was maybe just for Fran.
I got you.
I'm with you there, Steve.
All right, good. All right, Evan.
All right. I am up. I am going to go into the black category and I believe it's pronounced Sir Eric, the other twin. Am I saying that correctly? Sir Eric went. Okay, cool. Sorry. And I guess I need to say a price. I'm going 15.
Was that 15, 1-5?
1-5.
1-5. 15.
16.
16, David coming in there. Well,
18.
We got my stranger spot I could use. Let's go 19.
19. This is 20. I think everyone's just picking on Evan. 20 to Evan.
All right, I'm out, Evan.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
20 going once. 20 going twice. Sold to Evan. We were all waiting for the big Fran drop.
So one of these twins is worth 12 and the other one's worth 20. How does that work?
Who sided with who?
Who did Eric side with? And that's why I paid 20.
All right.
Who did Eric side with?
Eric is team black, I think.
Okay.
Arik is team green. I think that's the way it goes.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
It was so hard to tell on screen. It was like, who's who? And the season was so dark. And so you're like, wait, is it that guy or is it that guy?
No, it was really clever how everything sounded exactly the same. Although that was really fun way to not know what's going on when I'm doing a podcast.
Good luck to Melanie for figuring out the scoring, too.
All right, Evan, you got another shot at this.
That is correct, don't I? Okay, so yeah. I'm going to go. This is Team Green, but I'm going to put it into my stranger spot. And I'm going to go with my team's namesake, Larry Strong. Start out 15.
15 for Larry Strong. Why can't they all just have names like that? Is that so hard?
Larry.
Like Chuck Tuff or something like that? That'd be dope.
I'm going to go with 18.
18.
I'm going to go 20.
20 for Larry Strong. 20 going once, 20 going twice, sold. The only name in the show that could also be a monster truck.
And that's about in your Hugh stranger Hammer category.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, Hugh Hammer is pretty good. Adult film star, Hugh Hammer. all right, Steve. You going to bring a hammer or what?
I'm bringing it. Not really. I lied. We'll go dragon. I need a Vhagar. Three.
I'll go six on Vhagar.
I'll go 10.
10 to Anthony.
12. Guys are rich or something.
12.
Anthony, I don't think you can bet.
Oh, yeah.
I can if I decide to punt on my roster. Yeah.
If he's a phrase.
You can, yeah.
No, I'll just throw away sheets.
Anthony, you're cut off.
Does that mean his bids are cut off too? How does that work? Yeah.
I could choose to begin with a -5 every week if I want to.
Yeah, I asked that during the meetup, if you could bid on some a character or a point earner that you don't have a spot for. And you said, yeah.
Hey, Anthony's playing defense right now.
What are we at?
I think we're at 12.
Oh, 12?
We're
okay.
12, yeah.
Do I have the winning bid at 12?
I do, sir, I believe.
13.
Oh, I'll go 14.
15
to Evan. 15 to Anthony.
What do I have left? Oh, 16.
16 to Evan.
17.
17 to Anthony.
You're going to make me 20. You're going to make me do it.
20 to Evan.
23
to Anthony.
25
to Evan.
This was my Vhagar, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is really spiraled.
25 going once. 25 going twice. Sold to Evan for 25. Anthony, were you just trying to deplete Evan's stag?
I just couldn't see Vhagar going for under 10 stags. I thought, there's no way that's going to... Yeah. And honestly, I would have... Vhagar's so much better than Sheepstealer. I would have just taken the negative on that one.
So, Anthony, looking back, even though it was only one, do you maybe regret the Sheepstealer at all? I mean,
absolutely, I do. I regret everything. This whole auction has been one debacle after the next. I will trade my entire team and all my stags for someone else's entire team and all their stags right now. All Tara would have to do is swap the names at the top.
You sound like Dad Anthony. He's always like down on his team and then he ends up winning.
Does he?
Yeah, Settlers
Mom
of Catan.
The winner.
Well, he gets his cities and Settlers of Catan up really fast.
Well, what I've seen with you, I've only played with your father a couple of times, and most of the time his success is as big as a surprise to him as it is to us.
Well, he, instead of his strategy, he calls it his tragedy. Yeah. So you sound like Dad.
Yeah.
I feel like it.
He fails upward.
That's appropriate for this subject matter. It's all one big tragic story.
All right. So I have a question. So since Evan is full, does that mean he is no longer able to bid?
He can, yes, and he has to pass from here on out.
And what happens with his remaining stags? Does that bearing the rest of the
season? He's going to bank them for, he's going to bank them for in-season trades or whatever.
I see, okay.
Or in-season pickups.
I got 28 stags if anyone wants to trade me people on their team.
I mean, his team is done and he still has the second highest amount of stags. Impressive. How do you feel now, Evan, if we take a little temperature?
I feel pretty strong about my team. I'm still kicking myself about my / your grace. I think that's
especially with all that extra stag you got.
I know. It was so dumb.
It makes me so happy to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm coming for you.
All right, Fran. Your key rival can no longer bid, so.
I'm going to go to the stranger category, and I'm going to go, actually, I'll take it back. Let's go Team Green. Let's go Helena Targaryen.
Helena Targaryen. For how much?
For one. Sorry.
For one.
I'm going to go five. Sitting out there, yeah. I'll go six.
Six to David.
10.
10 to Anthony.
Do 11.
11 to Gerard. 11 going once. 11 going twice. Sold to Gerard for 11.
So Helena was the one that studying insects, right?
Yes.
She loves entomology and prophecy.
Entomology, that's it.
That's the winning combination.
Mm-hmm. That is an exciting.
And she is married to her brother, so that's the trifecta.
Even better.
Yeah, it would be cool if I could foresee when a bug is about to land on me. Imagine never walking into a spider web. It's pretty good.
Power. That's a lot of power.
It is a lot of power. Don't sleep on that power. All right, David, you are up.
I believe in black. Is Rhaenys Targaryen still available?
Yes, she is.
Yes, Rhaenys Targaryen.
An opening bid of two.
Two for Rhaenys.
Bid five.
Five to Gerard.
10.
10 to Anthony.
I'll do 11.
11 to Gerard. 11 going once. 11 going twice. Sold to Gerard for 11.
And that's in your stranger category, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and so you're done with your roster.
All right. And now we go to Anthony.
Narrow C for one silver stag.
Raise narrow C for one stag. One going once. One going twice. Sold.
Oof.
I think that's good value. I think very that's cheap. Really good
that value. It is great value.
So I'm done now.
You are done.
How do you feel about your team? We just have David, Fran, and Steve to finish up.
That is correct.
So yeah, my team makes no sense at all. Continue.
I concur. Let it be clear that this game is not rigged.
The proof is that.
For those of you that might have been wondering if the mastermind had something up his sleeve.
Look, our house words are, we're here to make friends. The best way to make friends is to let everyone else win.
That's right. Trying to figure out, because you started strong. I mean, like, you had the two A's, right? I mean, that was the initial. And then how many, like, starting with two A's, I think you're averaging, what, we're looking maybe C minus?
That's pretty good.
We'll defer.
I'll pass at the end.
All right, so we're going to the last day. We're going through the snakes. David, you are up.
In the phrase category, Aegon the Conqueror for one.
Aegon the Conqueror for one.
So for clarification, this is when someone refers to the ancestor of the Targaryens, the conqueror who is not a character in the show. This has a historical referent, not a character.
One going once, one going twice. Sold. Aegon the Conqueror.
Sorry, David. Sold to who?
David.
To David. Okay, great.
Same value, or you know, same price as a sheep stealer, but I wonder how the value will be. Going to Fran.
Let's go from the stranger category. I'm going to go with Missaria for two.
Missaria for two.
He's worth three at least.
All right. Three to Steve. Three going once. Three going twice. Sold to Steve.
I got played.
All right, Steve. It's your open here.
You still got Vermithor open. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, that's my last open category is dragons. So I'm going for Vermithor for one.
Vermithor for one.
Maybe he'll show up.
That was always a good strategy on The Price is Right. $1.
Vermithor for three.
Vermithor for three to Fran.
Worth four to me.
Four to Steve.
If he is a he.
I'll lift the tail after them.
They are worth four to me.
Four going once.
I'll go five.
Five to Fran.
Six.
Six to Steve.
Oh. I'm good.
Six going once. Six going twice. Sold to Steve. Vermithor for six.
So we're going to get to the end of this, and Fran is just going to be able to choose three bids of his choice for one stag each, right? Once everyone else has filled in their roster.
Good job. How did Fran do
that? Fran will just choose the best three names available.
Almost like he does this a lot.
Once or twice.
Can I ask for a recount of what I have remaining now that my I'm full. My roster is full now, by the way.
Yeah, Steve, you have eight stags remaining.
Hey, net gain. All right.
All right. So that's your full. So that brings us back to Fran.
Let's go Maelys, the Red Queen, as a bit of five.
Five for the Red Queen.
All yours.
Oh, such a great value. Right. Such a great value.
All right. Going once, twice, sold. Fran for five. Maelys.
Okay, for five, and that goes to Fran.
Correct. Okay. All right, David.
And is that your stranger?
I have that could be my dragon for now.
Oh, it's your dragon. It's a dragon. Yep. Okay.
All right. In black, which would be a stranger if I get it, Lady Rhaena Targaryen.
I already have her.
Off the board.
Off the board, long time ago, I'm sure. All right.
Bela is there, though.
I feel like people named Joffrey tend to be pretty great. There is a Joffrey Valerian, just judging by the name. Probably a great guy.
Just eye candy.
Then I'll go with another dragon, Taraxes, since Joffrey flew him for a dollar.
We're dealing Taraxes stags, for a dollar.
Not dollars.
Stuff stags.
Your stag. Sorry, stag.
Look at that. Just sitting on his pile of stags. Like, look, hey, I didn't save all these stags for you to come out of here and turn them into dollars.
David, is that your stranger category?
It would be stranger, yes.
Okay, and that's Taraxes.
Assuming it's going.
Yes.
Yeah, Fran gave it a thumb. Tyraxes. Tyraxes for a dollar.
All right.
Okay.
David's so sitting on some Fran. Serious stag, and now Fran, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, you can spend all 16.
On the table. Let's go $1 on. I'll count on being up north a little bit more this year. Let's go with the wall.
The wall. I hear that's all folks is also going to be used a lot this season. Just at the ending of each episode.
And for my final one, for my stranger, and I'm just doing my, making sure that I'm on the right here. No one selected Cyrax. So I'm going to take Cyrax for one.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
That's great value.
The same value as Sheep Stealer.
straight trade right now. Let's do it.
Look, this is your last pick, okay? So how much could that really be worth? Look at how much earlier Anthony went with Sheep Stealer. All right, kids. I'm proud of each and every one of you. You didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. feedback here? Who looks like a runaway at this point? Anybody?
I mean, I love Evan's team. I love Fran's team for sure. David Aemon Targaryen could just take over as the star of the show, depending on how much violence they bring into season two.
Just supposed to be a lot team of strong. My Lord Hand, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
Steve has some solid phrases, man. Hand of the King, Your Grace, Dragonback.
I'm psyched. I'm so psyched.
Solid phrases.
Yeah, I feel terrible about my phrases. Terrible about my phrases.
Yeah, well, you could have Dracarys where they say it maybe once or twice this season.
Do you guys want to like run through your list real quick? Just
yeah, I think we should do that. All right. So, David, your team.
Yes, I am Team House of the Dog. I've, for Team Green, I've got Prince Aemon Targaryen. My black is the Sea Snake. Stranger went with a second dragon, Taraxes. Then my first of three phrases is Dragon Rider, My Lord Hand. And my third phrase is Aegon the Conqueror. And my actual dragon spot is Caraxes.
Evan?
Again, I am Team Clubby McClubfeet. my green character is Otto Hightower. My team black character is Sir Eric Cargill. My stranger is our namesake, Larry Strong. My three phrases are Small Council, Red Keep, Kingsguard, and my dragon is Vhagar.
That's a good team.
Strong.
Yeah.
Larry Strong may have been a mistake. I don't know if that was smart drafting him. But
seems like you had to keep him in the family.
I had to.
Fran.
Yeah, so Gridiron Throne, Team Green is Sir Criston Cole, Team Black, Queen Rhaenyra Targaryen, and then my stranger, her dragon Cyrax. My three phrases, Blood of the Dragon, I'm regretting that one. phrase two, Seven Kingdoms, the lone phrase I feel good about. And then phrase three, The Wall. And then my dragon was Maelys.
Excellent. Gerard.
House Chrome, and my team green character is Queen Helena Targaryen. Team black, Prince Jaehaerys Velaryon. Stranger, Princess Rhaenys Targaryen. My phrase one is the realm. My phrase two is the Iron Throne. My phrase three is small folk. And my dragon is Vermax, which was rode by Jaehaerys.
That's a good strong team too.
Steve B.
That's a team I want to hang out with, Jared. That's great. I like that team.
Just as far as likability.
Small folk in the realm.
Yeah, totally. I'm teams. What am I? No, I'm not team. I'm house. Sweet leaves. for whatever reason. My green character is King Aegon II, a Targaryen. My black character is also a Targaryen, Lady Rhaena. Masaria is my stranger. I got my dragon. He's Vermithor. Hopefully he shows up at least once. The phrase, dragon back. Hell yeah. The phrase, you're my grace. Hell yeah. And the phrase, hand of the king.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. I am House Placebo in a Gazebo. For Team Green, Alicent Hightower. For Team Black, Daemon Targaryen. My stranger is Arik Cargill. My phrases are Dracarys, Valyrian Steel, and Narrow Sea. And my dragon is the fabled monstrous sheep stealer.
I don't think you're that far off, Anthony. I think you're doing okay there.
I appreciate it. That's why you're here, David.
That's why I'm here.
Thank you so much. I needed
to
that.
Shine you on, make you feel better about yourself.
You got right. Daemon.
Before we call this a day, I have got two things. The first is that I would like to open this up for a round of trade proposals. If you can see right off, I got to make that trade. I got to make this offer here and now. And you've got one in mind. Now's the chance. No one?
Right. You guys lock, it gets locked down after this, or what's the trade rules later?
I think that we're leaving trades open until season two begins.
Got it.
Yeah, I think on the Discord, I put like a trade channel in there where that's specifically for that.
And you're talking about trading amongst each other, not with what is available left over, right? So like
trading amongst each other. That's
yeah,
right.
Not if you wanted to trade like phrases out with what's left over. That's all locked?
That is all locked. Now, Fran, I do have a trade proposal for you.
Okay.
I'm going to offer you two things.
If one of them is sheep stealer, we're in trouble.
I'm going to offer you Daemon and Valyrian Steel for Rhaenyra and Blood of the Dragon.
Damn.
Wow. That's a huge.
That's a blockbuster. It's a blockbuster. Yeah,
that's right.
Do you want me to repeat it?
No, you're good. I don't think I can do it. Only because like Valyrian Steel definitely would be an upgrade over any of the phrases I currently have, but not enough to move the needle for me to move off Rhaenyra. She was the highest bid in the entire draft. I'm gonna stick to her.
It's hard to make that trade right after, right? I mean, you're sitting there, you're looking at that draft position, the whole thing.
I haven't even gone to training camp yet. Like,
if it was Daemon and Dracarys, that might be enough.
Okay, make the offer.
Counter
some stags too. Make them throw in stags.
Make the offer.
You're gonna want that fab.
All right, let's go. Daemon.
Yeah.
Dracarys.
Yeah.
15 stags for Rhaenyra and Blood of the Dragon.
Done.
Done.
Holy cow.
All right, so let's make sure that we get this down. Would you write that out, Fran, and send that in an email, and I'll forward that to
get that notarized.
Wow. So we're not there's no small council to veto the trade.
Melanie's not here.
Seems suspicious to me.
Anyone else propose? Anyone else has something to propose? Everyone's happy with their team. All right. Now, here's the second thing I wanted to bring up. I feel like, so we just found out that the first trailer for House of the Dragon drops tomorrow. So very possibly the other division is going to have a leg up on us.
Wow.
So I'm going to suggest that we do not provide them any extra help. Let's not give them any information about what happened here today until they complete their draft. Are we all in agreement?
Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone wins here because now they don't know what you did with Sheepstealer.
In fact, let's give her false information. Can you believe she could have went for 100 right. miles?
Send an envoy. That's right.
The second dragon off the board.
Okay. All right. David, how are you feeling about tomorrow?
Okay. It'll be interesting, especially if the trailer drops in time for them to be able to do this. So
fantastic. Steve, excellent job. We thank you for donating your time.
Sure, sure.
Thanks, everybody. That was fun.
Success.
And thank you, Tara.
And we'll call it a successful auction.
You're welcome. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
Good luck tomorrow, David.